But guys, we have more storytellers coming up first to the stage in this second half. This woman told an amazing story about discovering the real meaning of Kwanzaa when she went on a trip to Africa. Last year she told that story, so maybe she can help Bill out. I don't know, Bill seemed pretty confused about what that was all about. Please, well, I'm so happy to have her back. Please welcome to the stage Ms. Tracy Hall!
Tracy Hall!
I just had like some whiskey concoction, so just work with me. But I come here for the music. I told Eric that because I love and the stories too, because I grew up with stories. And speaking of Kwanzaa, I came in just when the first story was being told because I had to make a pit stop at Crate and Barrel because tomorrow I'm having some people over, and I looked at my table and I said, you know what I need? I need that candelabra that I saw in Crate and Barrel. And I had this tight window, so I told the Uber driver, just stop, just wait for me. Just wait. Because I have to get this candelabra. And so I just want to say, before I tell you about this candelabra, I remember celebrating Kwanzaa, and I had this really, I thought this was the best. Because, you know, Kwanzaa, you have these candles, you have to arrange them a certain way, and you light one, you know, day. Doesn't it sound familiar? And I was like, you know, oh yeah, look at my candelabra. I love it. And back then, my ex-boyfriend was like, you know that's a menorah, right? So tonight, I'm like, I have to have this candelabra, you know, because people are going to be over here and it's the holidays. I don't have a tree. I have to have this candelabra, you know. So I called even. I said, hey, I saw this candelabra. It's on page like 33. Where is it when I go into the store? Because I was going to Michigan. It was, you know, big store. And I was like, I just need this candelabra, you know. So I go in and it's right where the woman says, and I take the candelabra. And the man says, oh, there's no price on this. Price on the menorah. And I'm like, you know what? That's why we should just get over being different, because I think we are all the same. I think there's like an impulse that makes me that makes us all want the same thing. So, but I'm going to tell my story. And I was trying to think about 5 years, and congratulations again to Nerdlogs for anything 5 years, marriage, relationship, same job, your dog, you know, 5 years is a lot, right? Even the dog is like, look. But something happened for me for about 5 years, and it was sustained. And don't judge this skirt, by the way, because I'm doing that thing where you have to, you know, wear your clothes at the end of the year. You throw away the stuff you didn't wear. So this was the one thing, and I'm not giving this skirt away. So do not work with it. Work with pleather. Pleather is our friend. But in any case, I was thinking about what happened for me for 5 years. And I remember I nursed a crush on Kiki for 5 years. And I'm not going to say his real name. But for 5 years, you know, in school, you go from middle school to high school, and you have the same crush. And I had, like, you know, my mother had made me think, like, the 50s were really cool and Happy Days was there. So by the time I showed up in, like, the 11th grade, I was, like, in the hood, and I was, like, Doris Day or something like that, because I was wearing like poodle skirts, my version of them, and these tight sweaters. And my mother, you know, I was trying to wear the same bra she had, you know, those ones your breasts like are right up here. And so, in any case, I am wearing these tight sweaters and these A-line skirts, and I'm in 11th grade, and I'm full of hormones, and I am too afraid to dissect rats. Now, pigs, I don't have any mercy around pigs, but I remember we had to dissect rats in physiology class, and I said, I can't do it. So I had to move out of that physiology class and rearrange my whole schedule, and so I needed to do Spanish one of my last periods of the day. And I took a Spanish class where it was nothing but jocks. And I went to school. I'm from LA. I went to school. We had, you know, we were jock central. Our high school was like celebrated for everything except academics. It was like, I mean, I'm telling you, I think people went from high school to the pros. Because people, you know. And so it was all the jocks. And the jocks had this, their sixth period was always sports. So I was in there with all the basketball players and all the football players. And there's this one football player. And oh my goodness, he is fine. I'm talking about fine. You know what I'm saying? I was like, man, I would look at him. And our teacher had arranged our desks so that, because they were always keeping up a lot of stuff, she had arranged our desks so we were divided. It was like she would like part the Nile each time she would walk down. And so it happened that Kiki and I were on the same row. Now, he was in front of him and back of him, we were in threes. In front of him and back of him were his teammates. In front of me was like this star basketball player. And behind me was like the neighborhood drug dealer who was also fine. He was. Even my mom saw him and she was like, yup, he's fine. He was fine. And he, you know, he sold drugs. So he was always like everything was dressed and everything. And he had that like drug dealer pimp voice. And he like, you know what? One time I was selling candy, you know, all that candy dollar, you know, 36 candies, it was like $36. I was selling it for some club I was in. And he said, baby, I'm about a whole thing from you, okay? That's how smooth he was in 11th grade. I said, okay. So anyway, but I look at Kiki longingly. And one of the things I noted about Kiki is that in addition to him being really fast and being celebrated for that all over, not just our city, but all over Southern California, he actually studied. And that was something that I did because I love school. I've always, you know, I'm apologizing for everything. I'm apologizing. I walked in a minute late. I'm always wanting to please people. That's part of my personality even to this day. But I love school, and I never wanted to disappoint our teachers. And I noticed that Kiki would study, too. Everybody else in class, you know, maybe they knew it, maybe they didn't. They certainly weren't going to, like, try to learn it. But he certainly would. And I remember thinking, oh, I don't have to just study for myself or to keep in good graces with my mom. I got to study to keep up with Kiki, and that was really good. That really pushed him over the edge. Now, I had a nerdy boyfriend, too. His name was Anthony. And he turned out to be pretty great, too. So, but, you know, I was a nerd. He was a nerd. And Kiki was untouchable. You know, he lived on Mount Olympus with, like, all the other, like, major people who you just never see walking in real life unless they're in your class in the fifth period. So I would just look at him, and then he'd look up, and I'd look down. And we would just do that all the time. I'd be looking at him, and then when he'd look down. And I just remember thinking, gosh, you know, somebody like him, man. So fast forward, I go away to college, and a terrible thing happens. My god sister dies, and she has had sickle cell pretty much her whole childhood, and she lived a lot longer than people thought she would, and she dies my freshman year of college. And so I come home, and she's like a ball of energy, she was. Her name was Jamitha Pugh. And I came home, and everybody seemed like from high school or junior high was there. And I was talking to her parents. I said a few words at her gravesite. And then I was talking to her parents, and I could feel somebody standing behind me. And I turn around, and it's Kiki. And he said, can I talk to you for a minute? And I said, yeah, and I had noticed that he didn't come to the funeral, but he came to the graveside, and he had a little sports car that he had come with, you know, come in. And I remember thinking, you know, look at him. He's gone off to one of the great schools in Southern California for football. Hint, hint. Not going to say what it is, but the colors are burgundy and gold. And I'm not going to say his real name, but he was tearing up the field there, too. And he stands there, and he says, I want to tell you something. And I'm thinking, he's going to tell me that he probably liked Jamitha. And I said, yeah. And he said, I want to tell you, you know, when we were in 11th grade, you used to wear, like, these sweaters. And you would stand up and you would give the announcements for the class, which was true. Don't even ask me why we had announcements. But I would give them. I was the only one who would volunteer. And he said, I said to myself that if I ever saw you again, I would tell you that I had a crush on you in 11th grade. And I'm like, now mind you, this is pre, because I'm old, this is pre-Facebook and Instagram and any of this stuff. And I just can't say a word. I'm looking and I'm thinking of how I looked at him so longingly for 5 years or more. And he said, well, I said to myself, if I ever saw you again, I was gonna tell you. And he turned and he walked around to his car. He got in his car and he drove off the hill. And I couldn't say anything. And one thing I can think about at the end of the year, I hope Oprah does not die, because you are in trouble if she does. Right? Because there's God, there's Jesus, there's the Holy Spirit, and then there's Oprah. So, but one thing I can say from this stage that I hope we all take seriously, and which would be really sad, probably even sadder than that, is if we don't go for that thing that's calling us. Because just like I was longing for Kiki in the 11th grade, how was I to know that maybe just for that moment, maybe just for a couple of months in that year, he was doing the same for me?
Thank you so much, Tracy. Welcome back. That was an amazing story. Holy crap. Give it up for Tracy Hall, everybody.